Bible says in the book of John, chapter 5, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. In this little town called Bethesda, we have, it's called the Pool of Bethesda. And I like to look on maps, and I like to find out exactly how things were structured. And if you look up the Pool of Bethesda, you'll find that there's a lot of archaeological, modern-day ruins from the Pool of Bethesda, but also the pool up of how the Pool of Bethesda was laid out back in the time of Christ and back during this scripture. And if you look at it from like a helicopter from over top, it looks like a squared-off number 8. That's the way the Pool of Bethesda looked. There was actually two pools of Bethesda. There was an upper and a lower. Some scholars believe that they cleansed sheep in this pool at one time, but I would have to disagree because the water was actually 13 meters deep. And I don't think you're going to be washing sheep in 13 meter deep over 20 foot of water because you'll probably lose a sheep or two. And so the waters were deep. And if you look at different pictures, you'll find, and from what I understand as well, this was almost like a hospital in those days. You would have people, and the scripture tells us, they were sick, they were blind, they were withered, they were maimed, and they would lay in these little cubicles. There was actually five porches, and the literal meaning of the word Bethesda means house of mercy or house of grace. And so we have all of these people lying in that state, in that pool of Bethesda, and we know from the scripture that the Bible says they believe superstitiously that the water moved at certain times. And from what I did on research, some people believe that there were wells underneath these pools and they would bubble up every so often. And when the moving of the water would happen, someone would try to get into the water. And they believe there was healing, there was medicinal properties in this water. And that the first one that entered in would be healed. And we have here a man that was laying by this pool for 38 years. And what I often ask myself, I try to put myself in that frame of mind. I try to put myself into this story. And my first question I have to ask myself is, why did Jesus stop to this man? Why was he the only one? I don't know if he was the only one healed that day, but I know that he was not the only one that was sick. But Jesus stopped to him. Why? It's found in this verse 6, when it says, when Jesus saw him lie. The word saw in the Greek is more than just seeing somebody on the street or a passerby. The word saw actually means he looked deep inside his soul and saw that this man had a legitimate need and that he needed help. And that shows us the sovereignty of God. I don't understand how we can be in a service tonight and someone get help and someone not get help. But all I know is this, there are people here that have needs and Jesus is looking for people that have true needs in their life. And I'm still thankful tonight that, thank God, why should I worry? Why should I fear? For the very same Jesus, he stays always. He knows exactly what we're going through, and he can help us. So we have this man who was laying by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. I calculated this, if my calculations are correct, that's 13,870 days, 372,880 hours. This man laid by a pool waiting for the moving of the water and waiting for healing to come. But Jesus stops by his way, and I want you to notice the first point of the message. He makes him an offer. And here's the offer he made. It's found in the question. Now, to me, this is a stupid question for someone that's been laying by a pool for 38 years. Wilt thou be made whole?
Of course I want to be made whole. I've been laying here for 38 years. The Bible says that Jesus knew that he had been a long time in that state. And Jonathan, it seems, asked a stupid question. Wilt thou be made whole? But you have to understand, when it comes to Jesus, he doesn't ask questions. He makes offers. He wasn't asking him a question. He was making him an offer. Because you notice, he did not ask him, do you want to walk again? He didn't say that, did he? He said, wilt thou be made whole? And that's the true question that he asked every one of us tonight. Will you be made whole? It's not, do you want to walk again? Do you want out of your circumstance? Do you want to use God as a spare tire? Do you want out of your trouble? Do you want out of your financial difficulty? No, Jesus says, wilt thou be made whole? And the word made is the same word in John 1:14 when it says, and thank God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The same Word. So what Jesus was saying was, when He asked him this question, wilt thou be made whole? He was making him an offer. He was saying, do you want the same creative power that made me make you new again and make you whole again? And aren't you thankful tonight? The question still rings out. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made brand new? Are you tired of living in the same old life you're living? Thank God, you can be made whole tonight in Jesus' name. He made him an offer. He made him an offer. But then I want you to notice the offense. The offense. Look at what he said. Sir, I have no man. While the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. I've heard this before. Jesus made him an offer. And immediately the man said, well, I'm here. It's not my fault I'm here. It's not my fault I ain't healed. It's somebody else. It's what others aren't doing for me is why I'm in the state I'm in. It's somebody else's. It's what they're not doing for me is why I am here right now. That's why I don't have my miracles, sir. It's because someone's supposed to help me. And so what he did is he threw the excuse on somebody else. It's like so many of us. Well, I would go to this church, but they're there. Well, I would serve God, but this happened. Well, I would tithe, but you know what? I'd rather keep my money. Hey, listen. the offer still goes out. Will you be made whole? But you have to understand, your spiritual success should not be determined by other people. Your spiritual success is determined by your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, I appreciate what people do. I appreciate how people help us. People ask us all the time, how do you and Cal Ray do it? I'll tell you how we do it and how these others do it that do it full time. I'll tell you how. We have a great God and we have great people that pray for us. But I want to remind you, I'm not up here and I'm not anointed because you pray for me. I'm anointed and I'm up here tonight because of what Jesus did for me. And it's my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful tonight? I don't use God like a spare tire. I need Him every day of my life when I wake up, for every breath, for every step. I need the Lord. And it don't matter what other people aren't doing. I still have to make up my mind I'm going to serve God. I don't care if you don't shout, I'm going to shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I know what He's done for me. Amen. So he had this offense. Lord, I would, but somebody else, they ain't doing it for me. And so I want you to notice what Jesus said. He said, you have to understand, there's no life in this water, but I have the water of life. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. So we see the obedience. Where was the obedience? When did this man get healed? He got healed when he obeyed what Jesus said to do. Jesus can command you. He can draw you. He can ask you over and over and use the Holy Spirit to come at you and tell you what you need to do. But until you rise, take up your bed and walk, you will never receive your miracle. You'll never be saved.
until you say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He died on the cross of Calvary, but that wasn't enough. You have to say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me and obey what the word says. And aren't you thankful, as Reuben said last night, God so loved the world that he gave. But here's the condition, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was his obedience. But I want to focus in on this. Look at his opportunity. He said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. I happen to have a bed from Israel. I'm kidding. It's a yoga mat. And you can tell it's not mine. Walmart's got them on sale. But I joke around, but this is actually the closest thing I could find. And it's got decoration, but you'll understand. This is pretty near, pretty close to what this man would have laid on. This was his bed. For 38 years, Eric. 13,000 days. 380,000 hours. This man laid on this bed. With no hope. Don't you love the old hymns of the church? Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord. He didn't tell him to do that though, did he? He said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was laying on something, Perry, for 38 years, I think I wouldn't worry about taking it with me. I mean, it goes against everything we teach. I know we got to leave it at the altar and don't pick it back up. But Jesus said, pick it up. Pick it up. Why? You have to understand what this was. This was his opportunity. Because see, if he would have walked around town just like this without this, they wouldn't have believed him. They wouldn't have known who he was. But this mat was his testimony. This bed was his testimony. So everywhere he went, they said, wait a minute, I recognize you. Aren't you that sick man that was laying? You've been laying there for 38 years. Oh, yeah, that's me. You say, well, are you sure? I mean, it could be, yeah, you could have a brother. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's you or not. Wait a minute. You remember this? You remember this? I was laying on this for 38 years. But listen, a man came by and said, wilt thou be made whole? And I don't really know who he is, but I know one thing. As soon as I obeyed what he said, I was made whole, and I picked up my bed. And guess what? You know what that means? I ain't going back there either. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I ain't going back to that place where I laid for 38 years. And listen, some of you have been laying on a bed of discouragement for way too long. You've been laying on a bed of depression. You've been laying on a bed of financial difficulty. You've been laying on a bed of sin. And tonight the opportunity is in front of you. He makes you an offer. And the greatest thing you can do tonight is rise, take up your bed, and walk, so that the world can know, bless God, I'm not who I used to be, and I'm not going back to where I came from. Hallelujah. That was his opportunity. It was his testimony. You know what he said? He said, the thing that was holding me for 38 years, now I'm carrying it. What was burdening me, now I'm conquered it. All because Jesus said you can be made whole. And too many times we've used this as a crutch. And we've laid down on our bed of comfort. The church has laid down on its bed of monotony. The church has laid down on its bed of going through the motions. The church has laid down on its bed of just its methods. And it's time to rise and take up our bed and walk. There's an opportunity, but we can't lay down on the job. Jesus says, rise, take up your bed. So the opportunity, give me just a few more minutes. I want you to notice the onlookers. And immediately the man was made whole. Took up his bed and walked. Here's our problem. And on the same day was the Sabbath. There's a problem. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Now what are they talking about? Lawful. What's lawful? And some of you know this. The Jews follow more than the Ten Commandments. They have 644 laws that they, and 39 of those are laws that prohibit things to do on the Sabbath day. And one of those laws is carrying. They are not allowed to carry anything on the Sabbath. The only thing they can carry, quote unquote, is the clothes on their back. They're not allowed to carry anything. Can't walk across the street carrying anything. That's their law. And so you got these lawmakers, Pharisees, that saw this onlooker and said, wait a minute. You're breaking the law. You can't carry that, Matt. See, here's the problem. Pharisees never see a miracle. They only see a mat. Now look at this with me. I know you don't have your Bibles open, but let me trust me, I'm reading it right. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured. They knew this man had been changed. They knew that this man that had been laying for 38 years had had the greatest miracle performed ever in his life. He was carrying this man as a sign and a witness and a testimony of what God had done. But the only thing they saw, you ain't allowed to carry that on Sabbath day. And we laugh and we make fun, but listen, we have modern day Pharisees sitting inside our church pews every Sunday and every Wednesday. What are they doing shouting like that for? They don't see that God brought them out of the pit of sin. They don't see that just a few years ago, they were in a bar stool and they were drinking their life away and come down with liver disease and didn't think he would ever make it. But bless God, he's here tonight worshiping God and all that he has in him. Why? Because thank God he rose, took up his bed and began to walk. And there'll be people that say, well, I wouldn't act that way. I don't know why he's doing that. I'll tell you why he's doing that. Because he knows what God's done for him. And listen, the only reason why you don't is because you're too far removed from what God has done for you. Hey, let's not be so pious that we don't remember when we were laying on a mat of sin and Jesus came by and said, will thou be made whole? We raise our nose up and we scoff those that love to worship God, and we can't remember when we were on a mat. You were on a mat one day. And a few years ago, you used to act crazy. I don't know what happened to you. Maybe you got dignified. I really don't care. But listen, hey, your car's in the parking lot. They know you're here. They know you're at church. You might as well enjoy it. You might as well remember when Jesus came by your way, when you thought there was no hope, when you thought there was no cure. But when he said, wilt thou be made whole? You stood up. You took your bed and said, I ain't going back to the same place I came from. I'm walking out of here a different woman. I'm walking out of here a different man, because I know what Jesus has done for me. Aren't you thankful tonight for the miracle? Hallelujah. But too many of us just see a mat and we don't see what God's done for us. Well, I never. You never will. Be careful. I know Kyrie's mentioned this. And he didn't know that I'd mentioned it just a few weeks before at our service. So Rubenville people must need to hear this. And he mentioned it this last service, and I mentioned a couple services prior to that. But I said, and he repeated it, be careful who you make fun of. I ain't going to get into it. We heard a message here lately on the spirit of Michael. when Michael looked down and saw David and made fun of him for dancing in the Spirit, God dried up her womb and she was dry and never produced anything. Be careful. You don't have the spirit of Michael in your heart. God will dry you up for making fun of people that love to worship God. That's all I got to say about that. And finally, I want you to notice his outlook. They asked him, you know, what's going on? Who told you to do this? Well, you know, the one that made me whole said, take up your bed and walk. Sounded like he had some authority. So I just did what he told me. He that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus conveyed himself away. Listen to this. Afterward, what's after? After this healing, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. I don't think it was a long time after, Jonathan, when that happened to him. Now think about this. This is what the Lord showed me. And you may already know this. And I may be wrong, but it blessed me. The pool of Bethesda isn't very far from the temple, if you look on a map. But how did he know to go to the temple? He'd never been there before. I'll tell you how. The same spirit that told him to go to the temple is the same spirit that told you stop drinking after you got saved. Some of you all can remember you didn't have to be told what to do after you got saved. The Holy Spirit told you. And He put a longing inside you to go to the house of God. I don't know if this man saw Jesus. As far as I know, this is the only time they ever met. I don't know that to be true, but it's the only recording we have. Maybe he saw Jesus going to the temple. I don't know. But we know Jesus wasn't there because Jesus found him there. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the Holy Spirit, or God, the God that had made him whole, put a desire for him to go to the house of God, just to offer up a sacrifice of praise. Saying, Lord, I don't know exactly what's happened to me, but me and Charlie are over here. We're just going to sit here and we're going to praise you. Because I don't have to lay on this mat anymore. The old man is dead. I've been made whole. I've been made new. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for getting me off that bed of depression. Thank you, Lord, for getting me off that bed of discouragement. Thank you, Lord, for getting me out of that financial difficulty. Thank you, Lord, for healing my body. Thank you, Lord, for saving my kids. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know he didn't understand what church was all about, but he understood enough to know what Jesus had done for him. And I wonder, do we have anybody in Huntington, West Virginia tonight that knows what Jesus has done for you? And you just like to stand and give him an offering of praise just to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me a new life. Thank you for making me whole again. And thank you, Lord, for getting me off this bed. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to go back to where I came from. I'm a different man. I'm a different woman. All because Jesus saw me. And he called me and said, wilt thou be made whole?